Well, praise God. How are y'all doing this morning? Are you excited to hear the word today? Me too. Praise God. I mean, I might be ministering the word, but I feel like when I'm ministering the word, I'm sitting right out there with you. It's God that's really doing the work. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Steve and Pastor Kim, for having us. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And, you know, I don't know if you understand this, New Life Church, but it takes something for a pastor to lend his pulpit to someone else. And I honor that, and I don't take it lightly. So again, we're so glad to be here. Luke and Haley, they're kind of like our sister and brother, you know, we're really family. So we always hanging out. When they come to Louisiana, they can sometimes stay at our house or whatever, you know, but it's been a long ride and we are enjoying the journey that God has us on. And so we're so happy to be here. We're going to go ahead and get into the word, but before I do that, I want to invite my wife up. She's certainly the better half here. Come on up here, baby. And as Pastor Stephen said, we've been married for 20 years. I kind of saw this little Caribbean lady walking through my walking through the drill hall. You know, I was in the military with her sister, and I said, And honestly, from that point till 4 years later, I never saw her again. But 4 years later, she saw me and she thought, And the rest is kind of history. But I just wanted her, if she wants to share anything, she certainly can. But I just wanted her to kind of pray for the service, to pray for you, to pray for me, and pray for the atmosphere in the room that the Holy Spirit can just come in and do whatever he wants to do today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for having us here and for opening your church to us and even opening your hearts to us. Right before I pray, there's this one thing that I've been meditating on for quite a while now, and I just want to encourage you in that as a believer. You know, if you've ever been, maybe if you're older, and you're going on a road trip and you have your radio on, you know, you could get to certain parts on the drive where the frequency goes off a little bit, where you can't really hear your song anymore. So if you're listening to some country music now, maybe some R&B is coming through or somebody else is talking. So the reception is not very clear. You know, the receiver is not really receiving clearly. And so one of the things the Lord has been reminding me of is that I am the receiver. We are the receiver. He's always speaking. He's always downloading. He's always revealing, constantly talking. But you have to be on the right frequency to hear him, to receive from him. Now, we have an adversary. There is an enemy, and he hates that. So what he will do, he will mess with the receiver, which is us. He can't mess with him, but he will mess with the receiver to throw you off, to throw the reception off. So what he'll do, he'll distract you with things in life. He will distract you with things that seem good but are not God, right? He will bring voices. He will bring accusations. And all of those things, what will they do? They will throw you off the frequency. And so when you're off frequency, there he is, he's talking, but you can't hear because you're not lined up in the right frequency. I remember this story that Kenneth Hagin, Dad Hagin, and he had a vision where Jesus was speaking to him. And there is Jesus speaking to him, and in the middle of the conversation, a demon just walks in and throws up this fog, this cloud, and this demon is just noisy, yakety-yak, yakety-yak-yak. But Jesus never stops speaking. Never stops. But Kenneth Hagin, the receiver, can't hear what Jesus is saying. And he's like, doesn't he know that I can't hear what he's saying? I need to hear what he's saying. Doesn't he understand that I can't hear it and I need to hear? And this demon is just going and going and going. And finally, he takes his authority. And he says, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. That demon falls to the ground and just rolls off. But then Jesus said something to him afterwards. He said, if you hadn't done anything about that, then I couldn't. A lot of times we wait for God to be the one to do it when he's given us the authority to do it. And he said, surely I didn't hear that right. He said, Jesus said again, if you hadn't done anything about it, then I couldn't. He's given us all authority. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. So I want to remind you that you have authority, but also keep in the right frequency. Don't get pulled away. Don't get drawn away. Always stay hooked up so you could hear from heaven. Amen? So I'm going to go ahead and pray over today. Thank you, Father. We believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. We believe that Jesus walked upon this earth. We believe that Jesus died a criminal's death. We believe that Jesus died and he was buried. We believe that Jesus spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. We believe that Jesus triumphed over hell and over the grave. We believe that Jesus rose from the dead with all victory and with all authority. We believe that Jesus ascended into heaven. We believe that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And right now, he's calling out our names before the Father, making intercession for us. We believe that Jesus is coming back soon. We believe in Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for answering the prayer of Jesus to send us Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us into all truth. We believe in the infilling and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the name of Jesus, the authority that is in the name. We believe in the blood. We believe in the power of the blood, the witness of the blood, the testimony of the blood, the devil-defeating power of the blood. We believe in the cleansing power of the blood. And so right now, I plead the blood of Jesus over this atmosphere. I plead the blood of Jesus over the spiritual atmosphere of this room right now, and we take authority. And I say, no distractions in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus against the distractions of our very own soul that would try to disconnect us or pull us away from hearing, from being in the right frequency. I plead the blood of Jesus. And I say, soul, you be quiet. I plead the blood of Jesus over our ears, our eyes, and our hearts to hear, to see, and to receive what is being spoken today, what is being released from heaven today. I plead the blood of Jesus against the tactics and the tricks of the enemy to disconnect us from this time of fellowship. We say, you be silent. The only voice that we hear is the voice of Holy Spirit. So we decree it and we declare it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're going to go ahead and jump right into the word today. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Hebrews. Going to try to take my time here this morning. As Pastor Stephen mentioned, I'm retired military, so sometimes I can get a little bit boisterous. Don't be alarmed by that. That's why I'm giving you that disclaimer ahead of time. But I just want you to open your hearts to receive what the Lord is saying to you today. And I believe by the Spirit of God, you'll leave this place changed. You know, many times you'll hear pastors get up and say, you know, that this word that God has given me will literally change your life from this day forward. And they're not lying to you. It's an absolute truth. But the deal is that you have a part to play in it. You and I have a part to play in it. We're delivering the word, but you have to receive it and then respond accordingly. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and get into this today. And if something hits you just right, I don't mind you amening. I've been known to do it myself if I don't get a proper response. But I will give you the opportunity to do so. Amen. So do you have Hebrews 11? We're going to start at the beginning, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God, testifying of his gifts and through it being dead, still speaks. That'll preach real good right there, too, but I won't stop there. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How many of you want to be in that arena? But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. By which, you know, just another thing too, my glasses are pretty new, so I'm adjusting. So if you hear me pause, that's the reason why. Yeah. So praise God. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Back. Let's take them off. For before he was taken away, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. I'm here to tell you, New Life, today that what you do with what God has placed in your heart is more than just about you. Amen. And again, you know, sometimes let's just go with it. Let's just go with it. He prepared for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed God when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive his inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Talk about faith. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise, is in a foreign country, dwelling in tents where Isaac and Jacob and the heirs of him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promise. Now, if you see this, and you probably know this already, but Hebrews chapter 11 is called the heroes of faith. And all the people that we just read, and there's more that we listed, but they're called out by name, by God. And then there he gives a brief description of what they did, why they're listed in the hall of faith, why they're considered to be a hero of faith. But today I want to present to you from the perspective of David and his faith. And you notice that David is not really mentioned there, but if you go down to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, we finally hear David's name mentioned. And this is what it says. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also David and Samuel and the prophets. Now, to me, it seemed that David only got honorable mentions in this passage. Right? I'm like, my God, I mean, I know a lot about David, and, you know, it seems like he should have been somewhere between verse 1 and 11. But we find him here way down in verse 32. But to me, I see it a little bit differently. See, because David is so well laid out in Scripture that God didn't feel a need to describe what he had done here. Amen. So we see that David, in the Bible, his name is listed in the Bible in Scripture over 1,000 times, depending on the translation that you use, of course. In fact, there's only one other name in Scripture that's listed more than David, and that's the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the Son of David, the only one. And we know also that David wrote at least 73 out of the 150 Psalms. So I'm just, you know, adding to his honorable mentions. And David was a man after God's own heart. And I want to share this from the perspective of David's life because I believe that David's life causes us to see a progressive lean towards Jesus Christ in the coming of the Messiah. Are you with me? Again, I want to take my time here because I really feel that there's somebody in the room that that really needs to hear this word today. Not just hear it in your soul, in your mind, but receive it in your heart. Because there's a race that God has called you to run. And there's things that have been lined up along the way to hinder you. But no more. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. So let's move along. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, it says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave a testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do my will." And I want to submit to you this morning that many times, naturally, we just look at the outward appearance of man. But you know, God is not like us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So oftentimes, he sees things a little bit differently than we do. I'll present it to you this way. You can fool people, but you can't fool God. David is described as a man after God's own heart. Now, it certainly doesn't mean that David was perfect. We won't go into all the D&D, the dirty details. But just imagine if you had a microscope over your own life. Amen. It's just the grace of God that we don't. And so, if you're taking notes today and you want a title for the message, here it is. Flawed, but favored. Flawed, but favored. See, even though David made mistakes in his life, he genuinely desired to follow God. And he only really wanted to do what God wanted him to do. Amen. And I love this, and this is one of my favorite psalms, one of. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, he says, "Search me," crying out to God. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me to the way of everlasting." Oh, that's a place of humility there. God, I'm calling for you to check my heart, because if there's anything in me that's not like you, I don't want it. If there's any thought that I'm having that doesn't line up with your perfect plan and your perfect will for my life, I don't want it. If there's any individual that's trying to attach themselves to me that is not in your plan for my life, I don't want it. If there's anything in my life that it looks good and appealing to my natural eye, but is not of God, I don't want it. I only want you, God. So make my heart like yours. Make my heart desire what you desire. Make my will line up with your will. Amen. See, David is in a place where he's willing to trade his comfort for the courage to be known and changed by God. That's a serious place. Because, you know, comfort is comforting. Yeah. You can get settled down in your comfort and miss God. Live life in your comfort and get to the place where you stand before God and give an account of what you've done with your life, and you will see how comfort kept you from running the race that God has called you to run. But you have to be willing to sacrifice your comfort for your calling. Because in life, you have a certain different places where you can be in life. Anybody in the room have a job? Wow, nobody has a job? Luke is hiring. Make sure your resume is on point. But if you have a job, the description of a job is basically, you know, I get a paycheck every week, just so I can keep food on the table and pay the rent, pay the light bill. It's not a bad thing. Anybody in the room might have a career. career, what you would consider a career. Yeah, that's a step up from a job, wouldn't you say? Because a career, you probably went to school for it. Probably invested a lot of money into your career. You are somebody, whether it was Fannie Mae or your mama or your daddy, I don't know. But generally, people that have a career, you know, they're a step up from the person that has a job, and it's more on their mind than just paying the rent and paying the light bill. Now they're thinking about, well, you know, at least when I leave this earth, I want to have something to leave to my family. I want to leave an inheritance for my kids and my kids' kids. And again, that's a step up from a job. But even a career is less than a calling. See, because your career, it matters why you're here on the earth. But your calling is an eternal perspective of what God has called you to do. And that supersedes anything else in this life that could be offered to you and I. I got a little off track there, but it was still good. God, David says, God, check my heart. Search me. Search me and know me. He's just inviting God into himself to bypass all the external masks that we tend to carry as people, as humans. David asked God to reveal the motivations of my heart, the affections of my heart. Turn those things around from things that are worldly. Turn those things away from things that just only matter temporarily to those things that matter eternally. Try me and know my anxieties. Some translations say, know my anxious thoughts. You don't have to raise your hands, but have anybody ever had any anxious thoughts? Some of y'all are probably thinking anxiously about what you're going to have for lunch today. But you see here, he's acknowledging that fears and worries can sometimes cloud our judgment. In other words, Pastor Stephen kind of mentioned this, like sometimes, you know, this world system that we live in, we can get our eyes on the things of the world, and it doesn't allow us to put our eyes on things that are eternal, the things of God. But as he's asking God to know his anxieties, he's asking him to know his anxieties so he can lead him out of those anxieties. In other words, when I put myself in the presence of God, when I posture myself to hear from God, I'm no longer filled with anxiety, fear, guilt, or condemnation. I'm filled with the Spirit of God, and I'm able to go out and do specifically what God has called me to do. Amen. And he says, see if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's any wicked way in me. I'm not going to call any names because I don't know many of you. But humans can have wicked ways. And it's not even an intentional or purposeful thing that you end up that way. You know, if you don't renew your mind will just have any kind of thoughts. And it's the most fertile seed that's on the planet is your mind. And if you don't sow the word of God in your mind, it'll just run rampant and do whatever it needs to do, whatever it wants to do. But you, as a believer, you're in charge of your own thoughts. You're in charge of your own thoughts. And so we see here that David is really ultimately praying to God for direction. Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be the man or woman of God that you call me to be. But I want you to see here, the reason that David is inviting God to search him and to probe him, because he understands that God has a supernatural call on his life that he can never fulfill without the help of the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of him. He's asking God, Lord, you help me in a way that I can't help myself. Because if I'm left to myself, who knows where I might end up? But with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the anointing that comes upon me, when you say it comes upon me, I can do what you've called me to do. I can be who you've called me to be. I can go where you've called me to go. Hallelujah. 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 You know, when God searches your heart, he sees things that you can't see. Yeah, because, you know, I was telling y'all about the glasses. I don't mind telling you my age. I'll be 53 years old in June. Yeah, I know there's no way that you could have known that. Probably thought I was about 25. But, you know, I got these glasses. I went to the doctor, you know, I was like, whatever, you know, just something that you do. Like, I'll do it. And it was like, well, we think you might need glasses. I'm like, what? It's like, okay, we'll do it. We go through all the tests, and they blow the smoke in your eyes and all the stuff. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's really uncomfortable because the optometrists, is that's what they call, they get really close, you know? And sometimes you wish they had a mint. And so they had to order the glasses for me, and they sent them to my house, and I got them about a week later. And Jermaine and I are driving in the car. I put the glasses on. I'm like, my God, I can see. See, sometimes you just don't know what you can't see until it's revealed to you what you can't see. But see, God is here revealing to David some things that he can't see because he wants to make him right. He wants to set him on the path that he has created for him so he can see clearly the things that God has for him. Amen. You know, it takes some kind of courage to ask God to search you and then to respond accordingly to what he tells you. It takes a certain kind of a humility to do such a thing, right? But God didn't leave it to you and yourself. He gives you the Holy Spirit to help you receive what he's trying to give to you. And if you're faithful to hear the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Lord speaking to you, the voice of the Lord coming through your pastors, right? It's a significant thing that you just can't come to church every Sunday and then just leave and thinking, well, I checked the list today. But the Lord is speaking to you through his word that he's given your pastors. Pastor Stephen has been teaching on peace. Is that right? Yeah, I know because I watched it. So that means that regardless of what happens in your life when you leave New Life Church, that the devil should not be able to steal the peace of God that has been imparted to you through his word, through his man of God. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather walk in peace than anxiety. I'd much rather walk in the peace of God than fear. I would much rather have my faith in the things of God than in the things of this world. I don't even trust myself. I lean into the help of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're much more intelligent than I am. I don't want to make the decision. I don't want to even love my wife and love my kids in and of myself. Lord, show me how to love my wife. Show me to love her in a way that she desires and she deserves. Allow me to give myself for her just like Christ gave himself for the church. Allow me to bring my children up in the way of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And if you allow the Lord to just come into your life just the way David did, oh, he can do some miraculous things in your life. Now, you might just think about David as the little shepherd boy playing the harp in the field, tending to the sheep. But God didn't see David as just a little cute boy playing the harp. He saw him as a mighty man of valor. He saw him as king. And so he sends the prophet Samuel to David's house. And, you know, David has seven brothers. Can I use you for a second? Come up here for a second. Yeah. I forgot your name. I'm sorry. Buddy, that's it. Yeah. I got it now. See, me and Buddy, we some big fellas. Right? Yeah. Amen. And I can imagine that David's brothers kind of look like me and Buddy. They look like they're fit for the job. Big fellas can take care of business. All seven of them. But the prophet Samuel shows up and he looks at these seven brothers. He looks at them. You know, in the military, you know, they call you toe the line. And so that's the drill sergeant standing in your face, spitting and yelling in your face, you know, trying to get you. And that's kind of the way I imagine that the Samuel was kind of looking at these boys. Face to face, toe the line kind of thing. And he looked not at their outward appearance, but he'd look in the eyes of their heart. And he could see that You look like you might fit the bill on the outside, but what's on the inside of you don't line up. What's your name? Jeremiah. That's a good name. Perfect. But the prophet Samuel said, there must be another one. Is there another one? And Jesse says, well, yeah, he's out in the field tending to the sheep. Go get him. Go get him. So you might not look at Jeremiah and think that he's the king. But Lord ain't looking at his little 85-pound frame. The Lord is looking at the magnitude of his heart to receive instruction from God that he may run the race that God has called for him to run. And God knows it didn't matter the size of his stature. That didn't matter. But the size of his heart and his willingness to do the will of God for his life is what matters. So he anoints David as king. Jeremiah, you can have a seat. Thank you, sir. So he's not just the little cute boy that's tending to the sheep. At 16 years old, God anoints him as king. He anoints him his king. And you understand, I know y'all know the story of David and Goliath, so I'm not even going to go there. But he defeats the giant by the help of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people, you know, me with my military background, I have to, you know, they say that David used his slingshot to destroy Goliath. Well, you know, me and what I know about ammunition and weapons, I'm trying to figure that out. But years ago, I studied it out, and it said that David was able to use that slingshot with the precision of a skilled marksman. Oh, because this wasn't his first time. It wasn't his first time. And he said, it says that when he released that stone from his slingshot, it was with the force of like a 40 caliber pistol. And that stone embedded itself in Goliath's forehead. Bet that gave him a headache. But what I want you to see is not the fact that he just defeated Goliath, but I want you to see the method in which he defeated Goliath. Because everybody else, up until that point, they just feared his voice. He didn't even have to do anything. If he would just say something, the armies would tremble. But here's one thing that I learned about Goliath. Goliath was broken. He was sick. He had the appearance of a giant, but really he was broken. Ill. And he was just standing on the power of his voice to instill fear into everybody he came across. Didn't mean to really go here. But David did something that nobody else was willing to do. He was able to speak back to the giant. He was able to speak back to the giant. Amen. Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, to come against my God the way that you're coming against God? And you standing around here allowing him to do it, where is your spirit of faith? Where is the power of the Holy Spirit that's the rivers of living water flowing out of you? Where is that? And so when David spoke to Goliath, that changed things for Goliath. He still tried to look like he was the man and speak like in the man he was a man, but I can sense that there was a fear of the Lord that was instilled in his heart, and he knew that he was going down that day. I'm telling you that because there may be a giant in your life that you've been dealing with for years, but today the giant must fall at the sound of your voice. At the sound of your voice, the giant must come down. He must fall. And I don't want to be graphic, but David did more than just hit him in the head with a stone. He cut his head off and fed it to the birds. So whether your giant is sickness, cut its head off, feed it to the birds. It may be doubt or lack or fear. Cut it off, feed it to the giants. Yeah, I feel like it wasn't good enough just for David to hit him in the head with the stone and kill him that way, because there still was maybe a chance for resuscitation there. But if I cut his head off, it ain't coming back. He can't inflict no more pain on my people. He can't inflict no more pain on the things that God has called us to be and to do. He is dead. Dead. He's God. But you see, I have like 7 pages of notes. I can't get to all that. Not even going to try. I got about 15 minutes, so listen real close. But David's purpose was bigger than David. David became king because God could trust him. In spite of his failures, in spite of his flaws. See, one thing about David, and I believe that he modeled this in scripture so that we could follow it, is that even though he made a mistake, even though he fell short, David was quick to repent. Quick to repent. In other words, the word repentance just simply means to turn away. So if he was going the wrong direction and he realized it, he saw his error and he was quick to turn away. But it's not just turning away from your shortcomings or your mistakes. It's turning away from that which is evil and turning towards the thing of God and allowing him to order your steps, because the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. And you and I have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've been through. If you allow God to come into your heart and you confess with your mouth and repent before him, he's able to change everything, including the trajectory of your life. And David ushers in the glory of God through the lineage that leads to Jesus Christ. That's the goal. So my question to you today, is there anyone in the room today that God can trust? Is there anyone in the room today that God can use to usher in his glory to this generation that surrounds us right now? Or are we just going to continue to shrink back to what's going on in this world and allow our world this world system to dominate our lives? No, we're not going to do that. We're going to lean on the help of the Holy Spirit. We're going to trust God. We're going to be faithful to what he's called us to do. And we're going to have a spirit of faith, and we're going to allow the grace of God to compel us into the will of God, which causes us to rise above any circumstance or situation that the devil has for us. David, a man after God's own heart. You know, God created you and I with a plan, with a purpose that's not your own. You know, I stand up here today, been in ministry 15 years, grew up in church my whole life, graduated high school and lived life like a fool for 10 years. But the Lord arrested me. The Lord arrested me. And I surrendered. I surrendered. See, I was going my own way, thinking that I'm enjoying life, really not seeing clearly that I'm running hard towards hell. But the love of God, the compassion of our Lord Jesus, saw me where I was. And the plan that he created me with, it never changed. It never changed. When I moved myself out of his will, I was running on my own. But thank God for his grace and his mercy, that his will never changed for me. His plan never changed for me. And when the eyes of my understanding were enlightened, I was able to come back and just settle right down into the place that God had for me. And now I'm here at New Life Church, ministering the gospel to all of you. It's not because I'm so great, but it's because of the God we serve is so great. What a God. What a God. What a God. I can tell you, I haven't even got to like a quarter of my notes. So not important. But what I endeavor to impart to you today, that you don't have to be perfect. God sent Jesus, so you don't have to be perfect.
But you must be willing and obedient to the call of God on your life. You can allow him to come into your heart, give you new direction, order your steps. He's created a plan, a path for you. And he's willing to help you every step of the way if you allow him to do so. He loves you enough to send his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you and I. And of course, Jesus did what he did for the glory of the Father. But the Lord is so gracious, so merciful, he didn't stop right there. He says, there's another one that I'm going to send to you. Not that he just may be with you, but that he also may be in you. The help of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the standby, the intercessor, the advocate, the one who comes alongside you in times of despair to cause you to rise above anything that the devil would have to hinder you. Cause you to stand firm on your two feet, pursuing the will of God for your life. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. It's for this, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. See, no matter all of the shortcomings that David had, he served his generation to the perfect will of God. You and I can serve our generation to the perfect will of God. Just allow God to search you, to know you, know your anxieties, know your fears, and cause you not to have your attention on those things, but have your attention on him. He wants to create in you a clean heart, that you're no longer governed by your mistakes or your shortcomings, but you just develop in the things of God by the leading and prompting of the Spirit of God that lives on the inside.